I am so excited to be sharing with you journeys in food, nutrition, and sustainability. But first, I am currently a student nutritionist, having completed 4 years studying food science and nutrition at the University of Leeds. While I am working towards my accreditation, I am not yet an accredited nutritionist. What is shared on this podcast should not be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you want nutritional advice, you should contact a registered nutritionist or dietitian. Other resources available to you include the EFSA, the WHO, and the NHS websites. Now, let's get on with the podcast. I'm Amelia, your host of Journeys in Food, Nutrition, and Sustainability. I am so excited to be sharing with you my guest's journeys in these fields, hopefully helping to inspire your journeys. This week, I am joined by Victoria, a registered associate nutritionist and student dietitian. Today, we talk about how Victoria has always been interested in nutrition and is now on her dietetics journey at the University of Hertfordshire. Today, we talk about Victoria's passions and inspirations, her experiences in the clinical setting and writing for Retrition. Victoria has some great words of advice for us from along her journey.
Don't be afraid to change career paths, change your mind. Don't be afraid of struggle or setbacks, because these will happen to all of us. And it doesn't mean you're any worse at something. Everything's going to be okay and it all will work out in the end as long as you put the hard work in.
I'm delighted to be sharing Victoria's journey today. Welcome to Journeys in Food, Nutrition and Sustainability.
Hello, Victoria. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's lovely to get to talk to you after being in touch over Instagram for a while now. And I'm really excited to learn more about you today and your journey in food, nutrition and sustainability. First, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I graduated from the University of Reading last summer in nutrition with food consumer sciences, and I'm currently a student dietitian at the University of Hertfordshire, so I'm going into my second year for that. And I also have a part-time job as a freelance nutrition writer for Retrition.
Wow, that all sounds very exciting. Just going to your undergraduate degree, you did nutrition with food consumer sciences. Can you explain a bit about both sides of your degree?
Yeah, so the general degree that Reading do is nutrition with food science, and essentially it's a twist on that. So you still do some food science modules, you still cover your microbiology, but you also cover some psychology modules. So in my first year and my second year, I did a psychology module, and then I also did a marketing one in my first year. And then there were a few modules different in my final year as well, more related to the consumer side than the heavy food science.
That's really interesting, and psychology is such an important part of both nutrition and food science, and it's amazing that you studied that as part of your degree. Had you studied any psychology before?
Yeah, I did psychology A-level. I didn't initially go into nutrition. I went to study anthropology at university, and I just realised it wasn't for me after doing the nutrition module in that course. And I was like, yeah, okay, I definitely want to go into this. And I originally went for the nutrition with food science degree, but I was speaking to the module leader at Reading, and they said, oh, you've done psychology A-level, you haven't done chemistry, but we have this twist on it that might be really interesting for you. And I had a look at it and I was like, that does look much more suited to me, actually, because I am much more interested in the psychology side of nutrition.
Were you at the University of Reading studying anthropology?
No, I was actually at the University of Kent. I'd met with my tutor there and I said, I think I want to do nutrition. Is it something I can do after anthropology, or is it something that I'm going to have to change? And she said she's had people want to do the same thing before and that the best thing to do would be to switch courses. And so I went through things with her and I applied for a few unis. I think it was Nottingham, Reading, Oxford Brookes and Roehampton. And I got offers from those. I decided in the end to go for Reading.
I've been to the University of Reading Nutrition Department. I did some work experience there back in 2015. And it's a really beautiful university and department, and their research, and I think the pilot plant is fantastic.
Yeah, it's so good. We did a module in our final year in new product development, and it was all set in that pilot plant. And it was a really cool experience.
It's possibly the biggest pilot plant I've ever been in. I did making ice cream.
Oh, yeah, that's a first year practical for anyone that goes into that. It's
yeah. really popular. I can imagine it's popular. The ice cream tasted amazing too. Do you think you're always interested in food nutrition before going to uni, or was that something that really developed when you started seeing those modules at Kemp?
So I was definitely interested in it previously. I was born with celiac disease. I got diagnosed at 18 months. So I've always been someone that's had to check the ingredients on the packet, mm-hmm. understand what they mean. So I've always had that awareness to food. And I did look at dietetics when I was 15. I think my mum bought a leaflet home and I was like, no. And then in A-levels, I really struggled with A-level biology. And I just thought, oh, is it going to be too science-y for me? But it wasn't until I started studying that I realised that I was doing the wrong thing and that perhaps something can be difficult and you can get through it.
Well, taking that decision and thinking, I do know what I'm passionate about and what I want to do, and really going for it, that's part of the journey, learning what you want to do, which is amazing that you were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I made the decision very quickly. It was just before first year exams that I met with my tutor, and I still sat all those exams in case I couldn't move on to the next course. And they were great. I'd applied within 2 weeks and I'd had offers back within a month. And
it was
a very quick turnover, but I'm glad it happened that way.
Yeah.
Because it was the right decision.
That's very inspiring.
Yeah, I think as well, there's so much pressure to make decisions when you're 18, 19, and sometimes that's too early. You don't know yourself then, you don't know what your career is going to be.
As you say, as you evolve, so can your journey and where you go.
Absolutely.
And now you are going into dietetics. How did you get to that point that you're like, dietetics is the route that I want to take after studying nutrition?
So I knew that I wanted to go into the more clinical side of nutrition, and I was helping out Rhiannon and I was really enjoying shadowing her in clinic. And then I did some volunteering at the Royal Berkshire Hospital in Reading under the renal department, and I had the best time. I got to help out on some audits, and it was something I didn't even realise dietitians were involved in, and I just enjoyed it so much. And so I actually applied for the master's at Birmingham City. Didn't do very well in that interview. The nerves got the best of me, and I didn't get in. It's very competitive.
Yeah.
I think there was 12 spaces. And so I planned to have a year out and maybe apply to some of the London ones in September. And then I was talking to someone at Royal Berkshire and they said, oh, there is the 3-year BSc, which is a year shorter at Hertfordshire. And a couple of people she knew had done that. So I got in contact around the time of clearing with the head of department at Hertfordshire. And she was so lovely and supportive, and she said because of your previous degree you wouldn't have to do all the same modules in first year, you'd probably do about half of them and then you do the 2 years after that. So if you did want to do the 3-year BSc, if you pass the interview, we'd be happy for you to do that. So I had an interview there and I actually ended up making the decision to do another whole degree instead of have the year out, because I figured I'd finish at the same time.
That's really exciting as well. And that just shows just talking to people and asking, what are my options? That's amazing.
Yes. There was another student dietitian who had done the same. She had done a nutrition degree. So I knew other people had done it. And I remember being so worried, like, oh, you're meant to do a master. This is going to make me look really silly. And I had a chat with Rhiannon and I said, do you think it's the right decision? And she said, absolutely. Just because you've got another year doesn't mean anything bad. If anything, it means you have a year extra experience in dietetics. So that was really nice to have that support.
For sure. And how are you finding dietetics?
I love it. The first year has been a mix of nutrition and dietetics. The modules have been so interesting. We do much more case studies on individual people.
You've mentioned a couple of times working, getting experience in hospitals and clinical experience. How have you gone about going into hospitals, and like how long have your placements been and what have you learned from them?
In terms of dietetics, I've only had one. It was a volunteering experience. And all I did was email the head of Royal Berkshire Dietetics, and they got me started within a month or two. I shadowed the renal team there and they gave me options to shadow a lot more things, but I ended up moving away from Reading because I'd graduated. I was meant to have a placement in July, but obviously COVID has changed things a bit. So my next one will be in March till June, I think. So, but I don't find out where that is or what it is yet.
Wow. And you've mentioned that you've worked with Rhiannon for a while. How did you get that experience and what do you do there?
Yeah, so in my second year at Reading, most people do a placement year. And I knew I didn't want to do new product development, which is what most of the placements were in at that time. And so I thought, well, I need to get some experience somewhere. And she said, send your CV and cover letter over. So I worked on that for a week. And then I got a call right at the start of my exams. Can you have an interview now? I remember being just so shaky. So I had an interview and then I interned for her for the remainder of that second year in my final year. And then post-uni, they offered me a pay position on a freelance basis.
Wow, that's amazing. And it just shows how reaching out to people, doing some volunteering, working for free, really experience what you want to do, it can either lead to contacts or a bigger experience and opportunities to arise.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were times, because I did have a part-time job at uni, I worked at a food catering company, and it was really difficult sometimes. And I remember speaking to Rhiannon in my final year and saying, I've got to concentrate on my exams. And so I did have a break from it during my finals, and she was really supportive of that.
Really good advice there as well. If you are feeling overwhelmed, just talk, because chances are they will understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've always been interested in food and nutrition. Do you think from before uni to when you were doing nutrition to now studying dietetics that your inspirations have changed throughout the field?
I think my perspective on nutrition has changed a lot, because food is probably one of the most complicated things. If anyone's ever telling you it's calories in versus calories out, that's the most oversimplistic thing. And even when you study nutrition, you study dietetics, there's so much to learn, and every single day you can never know enough. And it's always changing.
I definitely agree. And I think that's something that I've really valued from being on Instagram, because it's managed to grow my network. So I can listen to other people and read what they're saying and read what they're sharing. And my knowledge has just expanded so much in the past 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the same. And one thing I love about nutrition is it's incredibly interesting how much more is going to come out and how the world will change.
Well, there is so much more to learn. So, so much. Speaking of research, as part of your undergraduate degree, did you do a research project?
Yes, I did. It was called an evaluation of food on campus. So I made up my own, which was very challenging, but I loved it. So essentially what I did is I sent out a survey to staff, students on campus, and I got some perspectives on what people wanted from food, what they thought was offered on campus, whether they liked it, whether they thought it was too expensive, whether they thought it was healthy or not, things like that. And then essentially I found differences between staff and students and how they felt about what was offered. But then separately, I sampled sandwiches and salads from the university. And wow, it was really difficult because you don't get any micronutrient breakdown. So to get that, I had to weigh all the individual foods and put that through Nutritics, which is a nutrition software. And then I compared the lunches to guidelines and saw if there were any statistically significant differences. I split it into gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, and meat. I looked to see if, for example, the sodium was high, and then I made recommendations to change based on those findings.
This sounds like a very, very interesting project. What were your findings?
I essentially found that students' biggest priority was price over anything, and that staffs were much more interested in taste and the quality of the food. I also found out that certain outlets on campus people said were a bit too expensive, and other ones they found a good price. And then I also found that a lot of the vegan options were very low in particular micronutrients like B12. I thought the gluten-free options were pretty good, though they were just limited. And I think Reading were coming a really long way. They had a whole vegetarian cafe that started that in my final year on campus.
Brilliant.
And so there were definitely more options coming out, and I'm sure even as the years go on it will get better. And I think there's so many brands out there that have some amazing tasting vegetarian and vegan foods, but obviously in industry it takes a lot longer for products to come out. I mean, all of my friends that have been on placement or have jobs in new product development, a lot of them are working on vegan food because it's such a big industry at the moment. And I remember one of them is working on vegan cheese. A lot of the successful brands use nut-based cheeses. And she was saying how it's actually really difficult on a large-scale basis to work with nuts. I think it's to do with preservation. And so they're trying to make the coconut oil-based one as nice as it can be at the moment.
Yeah. So thinking about your research project and writing experience with Rhiannon, do you think all of that experience has contributed to you being on Instagram, sharing some of your nutrition knowledge?
Yeah, I had my Instagram, I think it was my first year of uni. I've definitely incorporated it into my Instagram. Before I would just post a picture, and now I try to apply some of my research into my nutrition. I'm trying to do more series and things, but to be honest, I need to be more on top of it. And that's my goal for the next year. I think it's very easy to see work and Instagram as separate. And sometimes actually people do want the evidence-based knowledge that you're writing about, and it's actually really useful for them to have access to it.
Yeah, that's why I started sharing more nutrition knowledge on my one, because I thought I want to make this information accessible.
And if I do a nutrition article, I will spend days researching and then writing it and planning it and changing it. And so when I do an Instagram post, I'm very critical and it takes me long to write.
I totally agree. Something that I'm really interested to ask is, how have you found that transition from nutrition into dietetics? I know you've only done your first year where it still had that nutrition basis, but what's been different about it and what are you looking forward to going into your next year of dietetics?
The main differences so far that I've understood is we're doing a lot more case studies on a personal basis. So we're looking at an individual's nutritional intake, doing things like estimating their calorie intake, their saturated fat intake, being able to do that just by looking at a list of foods. I'm really looking forward to my placement module because we're going to be learning a lot more about things like MUST. I saw that in practice when I had my volunteering, and how you work with different roles within the hospital. And that's something I'm really looking forward to learning more about.
That sounds really exciting. And just for our listeners, could you explain what MUST is?
Yeah, so it's a malnutrition universal screening tool. I have to spell it out to remember there. And it's essentially something that nurses tend to do, and they give you a score. Lots of things add up to the score, and a number on that score indicates whether or not you need to be referred to a dietitian.
So it's more looking into working specifically with patients and within the hospital setting.
Yeah, and food fortification is something that I'm really interested in. In hospital, it tends to be a lot more supplement-based. So I'm interested to see, once I get my experience in the community, how different it is.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. You're an accredited associate nutritionist. So how are you finding keeping up with your CPD while studying dietetics and writing?
It can be really difficult. I'm really lucky Hertfordshire do run some CPD courses. So I've been to a few I can just slot in with lecture time, and they also link them all the time. They've sent us hundreds of CPD courses through our homepage.
Oh, wow. That's amazing that they're really helping support you through that.
Absolutely. I think they want us all to be doing CPD regardless if we're students or not. And I think they're just trying to get us into the habit of doing it.
For sure. Nutrition comes down to so much more, as we've spoken about today. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is sustainability, a sustainable diet that's affordable, that meets your social needs, that meets your nutritional needs, and has a reduced impact on the environment. Would you share with us today about your passion for sustainability?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we are fortunate enough, if we're in the position where we can make that impact, because I do understand that some people don't have the resources. I think if you can, it's a great thing to do. I always try and buy things like secondhand clothing. I also worked for a vegan catering company in my final year, and they used all biodegradable, recyclable cutlery. They now have opened a restaurant, and the whole emphasis is on sustainability.
That's so cool. What's that called?
So it's called Vegivores, and it's in Reading. Honestly, the chefs there are incredibly talented, like really cool place to go.
As you say, if you are fortunate enough to be in a position, it's just thinking about the little things that you can do. If you know, I'm going to leave that room, I don't need to leave the lights on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just even having a few plant-based meals a week and making sure you're keeping up your recycling, doing things like composting, that's all making an impact.
That is what comes in with the definition of a sustainable diet, is one that's sustainable for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And trying to support locally when you can. But of course, don't feel the pressure if you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can. Then it's nice to see some supermarkets starting to get rid of the plastic, especially single use.
And if you do have it, is there a way that you could repurpose it? I don't know, when we were younger, we used to do arts and crafts. Could you keep it in a box and see if you can use it for something else? Give it a second life.
Absolutely. Using bags for life, things like that, instead of plastic bags.
Yeah, but if you do have a plastic bag, you can reuse a plastic bag.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Or the bin bag, things like that, instead of using one of your bin bags. Mm-hmm. I used to use them as my room bin bags in my halls.
Yes.
You have a communal one and then a room one.
Yeah, I've definitely done that too. Thank you so much, Victoria, for sharing so much of your journey. It's been so great to hear about what you've been up to. So I'm wondering, what's next for you?
Well, hopefully my placement. I'm really looking forward to that. I have all my second year exams in January, And then I go on to placement somewhere in the east of England. That's what I'm most looking forward to. And I'm hoping to help out with Diabetes UK soon. I had a chat literally, I think it was the first day of lockdown. I want to help out with them around campus and things like that. But I will just have to see if we can do that.
That's a really good tip as well, to look out for, like, how your university gets involved with things and if you could get involved with them too.
Yeah, and any big charity that's involved in nutrition, they normally have a training day. It's like a know your risk training for type 2 diabetes, and all you have to do is volunteer to do it. And then once you're qualified, you can set up and help out wherever you are in the country. It's meant to be more useful than taking random blood samples, because that depends on what someone eats. And it's meant to be a really good indication of whether or not someone's at risk of type 2 diabetes.
Wow, I'm definitely going to be looking out for those. I always find when I'm interviewing guests that I'm trying to write down notes of what advice that you're giving, because it's so useful and really helpful.
I listen out for the same things, for sure.
So I know this one's a tough one, but it's something that I do love to ask all of my guests. If you could sum up for us in a sentence, a few words or a quote, any advice that you have to people in their journeys in food, nutrition, dietetics and sustainability.
I think the main message I want to get across is don't be afraid to change career paths, change your mind. Don't be afraid of struggle or setbacks, because these will happen to all of us. Like, I've been rejected before, I have changed my mind on my course, and it doesn't mean you're any worse at something. If you're struggling, it doesn't mean you're not going to be successful. Everything's going to be okay and all will work out in the end, as long as you put the hard work in.
I definitely agree. And thank you for such great and personal advice.
Absolutely. That's one thing I do want to get across, because I feel like sometimes you can feel like everything's going swimmingly for everyone else. Everyone's got into their master's program. Everything's going great, but that's not the case.
Thank you so much, Victoria, for being here today and sharing your journey with us. If you don't follow Victoria already, you should definitely go and check her out on Instagram at NutritionistVix. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really enjoyable.
It has been great to talk with Victoria today about her journey in nutrition and dietetics, and great words of advice. Remember, it is never too late to chase your dreams. If you enjoyed this episode, you will love what's coming next week, so make sure to hit subscribe to be one of the first to hear. If you love hearing about others' journeys as much as I love to share them, please give this podcast a 5-star review. It will help us reach more people. I wish Victoria and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you join me next Sunday to discover more journeys in food, nutrition, and sustainability.